Now let's go on and look at the another aspect of this passage in chapter 9 of Genesis, where God tells Noah and his family something new concerning their diet. Before the flood, it appears clear from the scriptural evidence that man's diet was made up entirely of fruits and vegetables, plant life. But it is also equally clear from this passage in chapter 9 that God gave man the right and obviously the ability, and whether this ability, physical ability, is new or whether it was built in from the beginning, which I believe that it was. But at any rate, at this point, God gives man the right and the ability to consume for food both animal and plant life. This appears to be an addition to the dominion that God had already given Adam at the beginning over creation. There seems to be an added fear. Not only was the animal life to be subject to Adam, which was from the beginning, but now they're, because of this added adding the animals to their diet, there seems to be a clear instinct of fear of man. When we think of this diet, I have to touch on this subject that from time to time is a very real source of debate and division among God's people. Man's diet has always been a source of argument all through the church age, and it's still the case today. There are a lot of fads. There have been a lot of books written about what is a spiritual, godly diet. There was even a book, and I think it's still in print, may still be the rage, I don't know, that was actually titled God's Diet for Man. And if you aren't on that diet, you're out of the will of God. We need to know what God has revealed in His will to be true, even on this very, natural, physical level. Because the danger comes, it does lead to spiritual corruption. If we don't understand these basic things, there becomes a corruption in our spiritual understanding. And that certainly has happened with these fads. And those who pretend to have revelations that lead to godliness and spirituality, when in reality it's nothing more than vain imagination. Carnal, sinful imagination. We have to ask ourselves a question and have to answer it honestly. Can what you eat and how much you eat of it, can it affect your health and your lifestyle? Well, I think the science is quite clear that yes, absolutely, it can and it does. What you eat and how much you eat does affect your health and it does affect your lifestyle. The Bible speaks of gluttony and drunkenness as sin. Deuteronomy 21, just so there's no question about how God feels about this, I want us to have a balanced and a scriptural understanding of what God has said about how our diet is to play a part of our understanding of His will. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. If a man has a stubborn and a rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice, for he is a glutton and a drunkard." And then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Whoa. That's pretty tough stuff. How does God feel about rebellion? He's pretty serious about it, isn't he? And a part of the rebellion here are two sins that are specifically related to what we consume. Gluttony refers to an excess of food, and drunkenness speaks of an excess of drink, an alcohol drink, to become drunk. So if you eat and drink in excess, you are sinning. There's no two ways about it. And sin does affect your spiritual life. And so these two extremes are to be acknowledged and repented of and left. Now, as to our specific diet, what is a diet that's pleasing to God? Boy, things are really quiet in here, aren't they? Our diet is to be characterized by moderation. That's the balance to gluttony, is moderation. I believe that every individual should honestly seek God for wisdom as to what is a proper diet for you. If you find out that something is destructive to you in your health, and not everybody's health is the same, not everyone's condition is the same, if you find out something is destroying you and ruining your health, you should leave it alone. That's simple wisdom. I am presently in the process of changing my diet for health reasons. If anyone hears in the next month or two that Wendy's goes under, you will know why. My body does not process French fries like it used to. And I have found that out. And so, because of that, I'm making some decisions that I feel the Lord has directed, that I might serve and honor the Lord as long and as healthy as I possibly can. If you have not been told by the Lord to leave Wendy's alone, you go to Wendy's all you want. And I will go to Wendy's too. They have a chicken wrap now that's pretty good. But the point is that each one should honestly seek the Lord about what is best for you. But if the problem comes, and where I believe it actually becomes a corruption of sound doctrine, is when someone claims that, you know, if you will eat and drink these things, if you will just follow my diet, if you will have my vitamins, my herbs, my remedies, if you will do this, you will be healthy and you will be more spiritual. If you believe that, you're swallowing more than herbs. You do not understand the reality of sin in the human race. I don't care what you eat. People will get sick and people will die. And I don't care what the diet is. Now, that doesn't take away from anything I've said to this point. You seek God for wisdom and direction to live as healthy as you possibly can for as long as you possibly can to do the will of God. But when it's all said and done, you're still going to die apart from the coming of the Lord and that small portion that will be living when He comes. I say small portion in proportion to all of God's people through the ages. Until Jesus comes, people will get sick and people will die. I have had people, and to me it is one of the most frustrating and irritating things when someone who is dying of cancer gets a letter or a phone call from somebody who thinks that they know God's will and says, you know, if this person in stage 4 cancer, if they'll just drink this stuff, they'll get better. No, they won't. They're going to die. And that's not a lack of faith. It is an understanding of the reality of sin in the human race. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It becomes sin when you equate food with spirituality. And that happens. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. That's why people get sick, and that's why people die. Because sin is in the human race. God still heals. You know my stand on that. God miraculously delivers people. Absolutely. When it's His will to draw people's attention to spiritual and eternal things. But the reality is still, these bodies are corruptible and they must put on incorruption. When God's people become inordinately preoccupied with their diet, and this is over and above being prudent, over and above using wisdom. You know something is hurting you, you don't eat it, you don't drink it. But over beyond that, when you become preoccupied with your diet, it consumes your energy, your resources, and it becomes a distraction for your spiritual life. And this is the danger, and this is why I felt I needed to take the time to talk about it, because it distracts a lot of people from paying attention to what really matters, and that is their spiritual life. Seek God what works for you, and give Him the glory for that. Some people eat only organic. That's fine. If that works for you, that's great. And if someone asks you what works for you, feel free to tell them. That's not a problem. But do not equate your diet, whatever it is, with spirituality. And that if everybody's going to be as spiritual as you, they need to eat and drink the same thing. Don't judge someone else as being less spiritual than you if they don't embrace your diet. Mark 7. There are a number of passages I want us to read so that we understand that God has revealed that there has always been a danger of equating what you eat and drink with spirituality. And that danger still exists today. And we need to pay attention to these warnings in Scripture. Mark 7, verse 14. And when He had called all the multitude to Himself, He said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." God wants us to understand even this most basic of things. "There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." God's trying to teach us something. "When He had entered a house away from the crowd, His disciples asked Him concerning the parable. So He said to them, 'Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him?'" It's speaking of your food, what you consume, what you eat, what you drink. "Because it does not enter his heart." Let's see, verse 19. "Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And He said, 'What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. What you eat doesn't make you sinful or carnal," Jesus is saying. "Sin or carnality comes from the heart and the mind of man, from within, his nature. And that's what defiles us spiritually. is that which is within us and comes out. You can jot down, we don't have to read Acts 10, verses 9 to 16, but there you know God was teaching Peter a lesson with a vision and showed him a sheet full of unclean animals, and he says, "Rise, kill, and eat." God told Peter to eat what Peter said, "I can't eat." And God said, "Don't tell me what you can't eat." Now, we know that the lesson was a spiritual one, wasn't it? He was talking about, of course, bringing in the Gentiles. Don't reject what I've accepted. But yet, the principle still applies that when God told Noah, "You now can eat of animals as well as the herbs of the field." Let's go to Paul's teaching in 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4 and verses 1 to 5. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of" what? Demons. And what's part of the doctrine? What's the error? What's the departing from spiritual truth? What does that include? "Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified," that is, set apart, "for the purpose of giving you life and health, sustaining life and strength. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Now, some argue this passage and say, "Well, but God is talking only about foods as he created them, either totally natural or totally organic, and all of the things that we consume today don't fall within that, and so God can't bless that, and you can't ask God to, you can't give thanks for that and expect God to bless you." Well, my answer to that is, don't you think that God knows the day and age in which I live? He knows that I don't live in the pristine world of Eden, or even Noah's day for that matter, just freshly cleansed. God knows that I don't live in those days. He knows that I can't return to Noah's pristine earth. And I don't believe that God wants me to spend an inordinate amount of time or money or energy to try to return to a diet that most closely resembles that of Noah's. Noah didn't have a Costco. I got one just up the street from me. But I don't have a plot of ground that I can go out and do my own farming. I don't have the time or energy to do that. That's not the society in which God allowed me to be born. I believe that what I eat, with, once again, the context of wisdom, completely rejecting gluttony and drunkenness, and then even within the realm of what's permissible, moderation of your diet, using wisdom, honestly seeking God, within that realm, I believe that what I eat with thanksgiving, God is going to sanctify to the health of my body until the day when he takes me home. And I believe that with all of my heart. And it has nothing to do with being more or less spiritual, what I eat or don't eat, but it has everything to do with my attitude toward God and toward his will and towards eternal things. Colossians 2. So young people, if you want to eat hamburgers and french fries, you go ahead. Your body is able to do it, but there will come a time when a lot of things change. But no matter what your diet, saints, if we don't pay attention to spiritual truth that changes us, changes our heart, and changes our mind, you will never be found pleasing to the Lord. You may have perfect health, but if you don't have a heart and a mind that's surrendered to the will of God, that's being transformed from glory to glory, you are not pleasing to God. It's that simple and it's that clear. Colossians 2:16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Well, I think we'll close there. I've probably got everybody as mad as I could possibly get tonight, so I better stop while I'm behind.